Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JusticeGeeks.com, and this is a Just Us Geeks interview. Our interview today is with one Jason from the Walking Dead cast. Sir, how are you?
I'm good.
You sound a little...
You're sick.
Yeah, I'm the one who sounds undead. Wow. We'll just switch places for a week. It's fine. Jason is one of two hosts of the Walking Dead cast, iTunes' number one rated Walking Dead podcast, and the only one that you can actually listen to without throwing things. I'll just throw that out there. You should have a banner that says that. You can use my endorsement. I don't really care. The only Walking Dead podcast you can listen to without throwing things. How's it going, man? Tell me how yourself has been as we are winding down the season of Walking Dead.
Good. It's funny you say that because we actually have some friends in the podcasting community, and I like to try to get to know all the other, because there's about 30 different Walking Dead podcasts, but they definitely all have their own personalities. And, you know, if you take the time to go listen, you'll find the one that suits you best, right? You know?
Well, without naming any names, I'd found, I don't know, when we started doing this a couple years ago, I thought, well, and listen to Kevin Smith, listen to this, listen to that. I really need a Walking Dead podcast. And I found this non-named podcast. Uh-huh. And really, until I looked for more and found you guys, it was just like, well, I guess I'm just going to have to listen to this. Somebody hear someone else's opinion on The Walking Dead. But you guys have a great show. You and Karen are really, really great, and you have good stuff, and you have fantastic people on your show as well. And that's really what makes it fun to do, I'm sure. Tell me how you got started doing this.
Well, Karen and I have been friends for a long time, and we used to go watch zombie movies together, and I've always been a fan, horror fan, zombie fan. And she and I also both loved the show Lost, and I got her into a Lost podcast, the Lost podcast with Jay and Jack. Mm-hmm. And ever since then, I've thought, oh, man, I want to do that. It sounds like they were having so much fun, and I have been into The Walking Dead, Kirkman's comic, since it started 10 years ago. And so when I found out that it was going to be a TV show, I thought, this is it. This is the one I want to do. Karen is a perfect counterpart to me, because I'm kind of monotone and a little bit sort of slow paced, and she's super perky and bubbly and everything. So I asked her if she wanted to do it. She was totally into it right from the beginning.
That's awesome. You have to have a good balance there on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not, good to have a girl, too. There aren't a lot of women.
Right. Well, and it's not that you have a monotone voice. You just have a good, calm voice, the kind of voice that you would want to lead you through the zombie apocalypse. So, you know.
Comforting.
But yeah. It's nice to hear. It's nice to hear both perspectives you guys have. And it's always fun when you have a guest on. The last episode that I listened to was the gal from the video game. And I will just say, she was very good. I really enjoyed her on the show. But anytime she would go into that voice, just was really creepy. I don't know why. Like, it's just super creepy.
Melissa Hutchison, who does the voice of Clementine from Telltale's Walking Dead game, which is an amazing game. If you haven't played it, I definitely recommend you check it out. It's, even if you're not a gamer, it's more like watching a movie, except that you get to be a part of it. And she's like the coolest person ever. And I forget that she's Clementine, because she looks nothing like Clementine. She really doesn't sound like her. So yeah, when she does that voice, it's a trip. I don't get creeped out, but it's like, whoa, there's some, you know, it's all of a sudden Clementine's here.
We've talked to a lot of voice actors, and we just saw several at a convention that we had gone to, and I've kind of around the bout made friends with Tom Kenny, who does the voice of SpongeBob SquarePants. And nice. Tom kind of sounds like SpongeBob, kind of, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear it, but when he kicks in and does it, it's a whole other thing. And same thing with Curtis Armstrong, you know, like Curtis, he just, he doesn't even, he just, it's Curtis. He's Curtis being Dan from Dan Versus. He's Curtis from being the kid from American Dad, you know. But I really think that video game voice acting is just something of another world, you know, because it's, I mean, yeah, you're paying for the channel to watch this on, but a lot of folks have cranked out $60 for this. And you really, you know, there's so much that goes into a video game. And they're not just a whole lot of good voice actors for video games anymore, but she is fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting better, I think. Like, have you played Last of Us?
Yes.
That's really good.
Yes. All the way around. I mean, that was just a good game. Yeah, yeah. All the way around.
Totally.
And I think, honestly, the last game that I played that I had the biggest issue with was probably Arkham Origins, because, you know, Mark Hamill doesn't return as the Joker, and I changed the voice of Bats, and everything was just a little off, and the whole game was off to me because of, you know, what you expect.
One of my favorite games, to bring it kind of back to zombies, is Resident Evil 2. Back from 1999, I think, is when it came out, and it's just renowned for having some of the worst voice acting ever.
Yes,
it's a good game.
But it's a game from,
bad, it's funny.
Right, and it's a game from 1992. Come on, folks, give these people a break. So did you have you always been a horror game player?
Well, I think that was the first one I really got into, and I remember I'd been away from games for a while, so it might have also been one of the first PlayStation games. I was used to, you know, 8-bit Nintendo kind of thing, so at the time it seemed very advanced and cool looking, and it was just amazing to me how brutal it was. Like, I don't know if you played that, but
yes.
You start off right among the zombies, and the control scheme is hard to master, so almost anyone who plays it is going to see right away they're just going to get eaten by all these zombies and blood's going to spatter out everywhere in the first 15 seconds of the game. It's like, holy crap.
Yeah, there's not much you can do. You're going to die multiple times, but it's a worthwhile game.
Yeah.
It really is. You know, with the zombies sort of taking this nice ride in the last few years, we've kind of seen a turn back towards, you know, a horror genre in a game, and disaster genre as well, you know, like with The Last of Us. And it's a really cool genre that video games don't often explore, but when they do, if they do them correctly, it's really, really good. I'm glad that you mentioned Last of Us. It's a super fun game, and it's a good game. Did you ever get a chance to play Zombie U for Wii U when it came out?
No, it looked cool, but I don't have a Wii, and I don't know anyone else who does. I kind of wanted to play it, though. Is it good?
It is, and that is the problem with Nintendo. That's why Nintendo's not making any money. I don't have a Wii U, and I don't know anybody else who has one. one of the guys we had on the show at the time, he actually beat it and is really the only person that I can find, with the exception of, you know, folks that work for IGN and a lot of these game review places, that, you know, beat it from start to finish. And it's really flipping hard, but it's a good game.
Oh, okay.
Oh man, yeah, it's a really good game, and you would actually really, really enjoy it.
It looks great. I like the idea of when you die, you're dead, and then a new character comes in and gets your stuff, and then you start playing them, right?
Right. I kind of gave up on it because I just don't have tons of time for games. And my ending point with the game was I had been killed. I was trying to find my stuff and my zombie self that had just died killed me. And I thought, nope,
awesome.
I can't top this. I'm getting out of this game right now. But it's a super fun game. You know, zombies are everywhere. They're all over our television. They're in movies, sometimes good and sometimes not so good. And, you know, obviously Kirkman and The Walking Dead really now has a big part of that. Can you tell me some of your favorite zombie flicks?
I guess I really started getting into zombies when I went and saw the 1990 Night of the Living Dead remake.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it a lot. And it's still one of my favorites. It's just, I like the ones that are very uncomfortable and brutal, Like some of these newer ones, like Warm Bodies, which is sort of a feel-good zombie movie, I can appreciate it and I like it, but it's not really what got me interested in zombies, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, I love the Dawn of the Dead remake too. That's one of my favorites from 2004, I think. I like the... I'm going to name off ones that everybody knows. 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later.
Even though
some people don't consider those zombie movies. Those are awesome.
I really like those because
the Romero ones are all good.
Oh yeah, I like the 28 Days Later. Well, the first two, because of what you said, because of how uncomfortable it makes you. You know, I don't really buy into those particular zombies. You know, as canon. You know, I guess you'd say is if they were really zombies, I don't think they'd really behave like that. But man, those are some of the most uncomfortable movies, yet really, really good films. And that 28 Days Later is my favorite zombie flick for that very reason, just because of it is unnerving, it is gritty. It looks like somebody shot it with some kind of nice handheld, but that wasn't what they were trying to do, you know. And zombie films, I think it's saying that the saturation level has kind of peaked when you get to a movie like Warm Bodies and John Malkovich is in it. I mean, I didn't see it, but I heard it wasn't horrible. But I was listening to, I was listening to somebody the other day and they were talking about that movie and how, and I think maybe they mentioned it on Talking Dead about how they had taught a zombie to read and a zombie was reading and it was just odd. I don't really go there.
They're getting to a point where they're like, okay, well, you know, zombies are popular, but we can't just keep doing the same thing. And I think kind of the problem with zombies is once you start getting away from the very simple idea that they are mindless and bloodthirsty, then it's not really zombies anymore. No. And, you know, I mean, Warm Bodies is a good movie, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't touch that place that got me really into zombies, you know?
Right. Obviously, you're a fan of Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead. Is there any other zombie-based literature that you're quite fond of?
Nothing really comes to mind. I've been, you know, wanting to find a really good zombie novel. And every time somebody recommends one, I go onto Amazon and there's tons of bad reviews for it. And I just don't have the attention span to read a book that's not highly recommended. Like, cause I know myself, I won't finish it. So I just haven't really gotten into zombie novels. But as far as comics go, I've tried a few and not loved anything, but this new George Romero's writing a comic right now, Empire of the Dead, and it's pretty, pretty good so far. I think they're only up to issue 3, but I'm liking it. Also, one that a friend of our show, Kirk Manley, he's an illustrator, and he recommended, it's called Afterlife with Archie. It's actually the Archie series, but in the zombie apocalypse.
Wow.
And it sounds like it would be horrible, but it's pretty good.
It sounds like it would be amazingly fun. That's really cool.
I mean, it's really dark and the art is really moody and, you know, they draw the characters more like real people. So it's almost just like this teenager zombie comic that it might even be better if you didn't associate it with Archie, but it is fun because it has that association, but I recommend checking that out.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's really awesome. For me, Max Brooks's World War Z, not the Brad Pitt thing that they did. It's like they thought, we have this zombie film. I need to give it a name. What can we buy?
I know.
World War Z, people know that. They'll associate that with zombies. And I'm not really sure that these are zombies, but, you know, it's fine. That's what we'll do.
That's true. I didn't read that book, but I did listen to the audiobook version, and it was great.
Well, that's actually the way to go. I listen to the audiobook version as well.
Yeah, it's a good production.
It is. They actually do a really nice job with that. You know, zombies have really, really crept into just about every crevice of our lives today. I guess it was about this time last year that I discovered, I can't remember the name of the app. I completed it, so I stopped using it. It was basically like a zombie running fitness app, where you were this survivor, and it was your job to run and collect all these things. And occasionally you'd have to run away from a zombie horde and all kinds of stuff that you listen to.
You hear them growling at you.
Yeah, that you you could put your own playlist in. It was really sweet. I think that, you know, it's just becoming such a staple that I really want to attribute it all to Kirkman and to Walking Dead, because a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, Walking Dead has been around 10 years. And whatever the issue was, that was the 10th year anniversary, we did a thing about it. And, you know, people were just blown away that it had been around 10 years. You know, a lot of people don't think that zombies have staying power, but obviously they do. And as long as The Walking Dead is on TV, that's not going to change. When you first started watching Walking Dead, did you have any problems with separating it from the novels, or was it just something that you immediately decided to accept and enjoy?
No, I was happy. Like, I really enjoy that they totally do it right. They take some things from the comic, and it's like it jumped right off the page, which is thrilling because I love the comic and it's fun to see it realized. But mostly it's very different, which is great because then I get surprised all the time and it holds my interest. So They really did find that sweet spot of how, and I'm grateful because, you know, when Walking Dead started the show, I think that the comic was getting maybe 20,000 issues a month in sales, and the show, you know, had millions and millions of viewers, so they could have very well just said, oh, we'll just do it just like the comic and, you know, not worry about the small audience who already knows the story. But Kirkman, I think even for himself, just to keep it interesting for himself, he didn't want to do that. And as a comic reader, I'm glad they didn't.
Well, and, you know, I kind of attribute a lot of that to Kirkman. And I think I've heard him say before, you know, that the show has given him an opportunity to do some things a little differently. And it gives him an opportunity to tell a different story. What is your favorite thing that's similar to the comic in the show?
I loved seeing Glenn realized on screen. He was one of my favorite characters for a long time, and he looked just like him in the comic and acted just like him, and that's the one that jumps to mind. Recently I feel like he's gotten a bit boring now that he's got the girl and he's not so awkward anymore.
Right.
But I still like him.
Yeah, Glenn is my favorite character from the comics, and he is one of those characters on the show that, you know, I mean, everybody knows where this is going at some point, but I just love Glenn.
Maybe.
Well, you can't ever tell.
Someone will get that treatment.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, I don't know if they can do that for TV or not.
I don't know.
But, you know, I think it has a lot to do with Steven. He's just a really fantastic actor, and he just really has embodied that character, I think, more than just about anyone else who is on the show that has a counterpart in the graphic novels. He's good. And that's just a good character. You know, Kirkman has proven time and time again that there are a lot of folks that it's almost as if he's gotten tired of them in the comic and disposed of them in the comic. But I didn't really feel that way about Glenn in the comic, and it's almost like, you know, they've given Glenn a little more love in the show. I really have enjoyed that character. A lot of people will say, however, that they don't really care for some of the major discrepancies in the show and the comic. Is there any that stick out to you that you just think, I don't like this? Do you think it every week? I don't like how this is, but there's nothing good.
You know, I'm afraid of giving spoilers, like talking about things that happened in the comic, you know?
People have had time. That's the way I look at it. It's like, you've had time. If you haven't read it by now, man, it's your own fault.
Yeah. So, okay, good. So, you know, I don't hate this, but I kind of do. I think it would be good if at some point Rick loses a hand.
Yeah.
I want to see that. And I want to see, you know, I think Andrew Lincoln agrees with that, actually. And I think probably the biggest reason why they don't do it is it would just be kind of a technical challenge,
right,
to show him without a hand all the time. But if they could figure it out, I think it would be really cool to see how it play out on the show.
Well, I almost think that perhaps that's, they kind of, you know, tried that with Scott Wilson with the leg there for a while.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the beginning of that next season, oh, looky there, he's created himself a leg, so we don't have to do that anymore. Mm-hmm.
I think it's in the comic, if Rick, I don't want to give too much away, but in the comic, they've teased that maybe that he'll have some kind of replacement appendage there too pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. He, Rick Grimes is, he's a fantastic character, but for me, you know, I mean, he can't do it alone, and that's what's so great about a lot of the supporting cast in The Walking Dead on the show and in the comic. My biggest major discrepancy is Michonne. You know, Michonne comes along in the comic, and she's just this bat out of hell. And then the lady who plays Michonne is wonderful. She's a fantastic actress, and she's kind of coming into it now. But the way that she had been written just was a real disappointment to me, because, you know, as a strong female character in a world like that, that had, you know, previously been dominated up until that point by men and guns and all kinds of ridiculousness, Michonne really stood out and did her own thing. And they could not have gotten as far as they did in the story without Michonne being just incredibly awesome. And I just really feel like they've underplayed her in the show. Maybe we're going to see that change soon. But for me, you know, I can excuse the fact that Daryl doesn't exist and that Shane stayed around way too long. way too long. But Michonne, you know, I want to see the empowered Michonne. Although I do like that they've given her a backstory. I think that's kind of interesting.
So wait now, so you think on the show, what's missing?
I just think that she's not, you know, I mean, in the comic, here's this woman who comes walking out of the woods with these two armless walkers, and her and one other guy go into this prison and just decimate everything that stands in their path. And she's just so timid in the show. I don't really know. I think that, you know, in this season, we've seen more of what I would say comic Michonne, you know, in that scene where she just kind of goes nuts and kills all those walkers standing around her.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I stood up in my living room and cheered.
I know somebody who was one of those walkers in that scene.
Oh, wow. Fun. I don't know if I would have wanted to be around her.
I know. She's dead now. No, I'm just kidding. but she, I don't know. I don't get it, man. I mean, because she's always been an efficient zombie killer. I mean, to me, the biggest difference between Michonne in the comic and in the show is in the comic, she seems more just grounded and just kind of does what needs to be done without, you know, without a thought. And in the show, she started off being really angry, and that was different, a bit different. But I like what she does with it. And I think it's interesting now seeing her with Carl and Rick and that relationship.
Right. That's the last few episodes that have included the three of them have been really, really good episodes. I've actually wanted more of those than we've seen of, you know, people burning down homes and charred walkers and all that other stuff. I've really enjoyed those episodes. You guys have done pretty well for yourselves over at the Walking Dead cast. You've talked to some really fun people associated with the Walking Dead. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when we first started the podcast, I had two kind of pie-in-the-sky goals. One was to interview celebrities, and the other one was to be a zombie on the show. But I thought, you know, even if we never achieve those, we'll just keep trying, and as long as we're having fun, then it's all good. And so we reached out to Charlie Adlard to start. He's the illustrator. And he said yes, and like, yeah! So we We did that interview, and then we reached out to some of the actors. And Steven Yeun, I think, because he was just kind of starting out and hadn't been in a lot of things, his management sort of made the mistake of saying yes to us. And luckily. And so he came on. And after that, you know, whenever I'd reach out to anybody, I'd be like, we just had Steven Yeun on it. It was great. And he was great.
Right.
He's just a really cool guy and fun to talk to. And, you know, I just kept being persistent with people, but, you know, trying not to be a nag and find that line in there. And over time, we just got more and more of the actors and creative talent to come do interviews. And it's just been a lot of fun.
You guys are pretty heavily involved with Walker Stalker Con. That's incredibly cool. We were going to try to make it to Walker Stalker Con in Atlanta this year, but it didn't work out. What do you do there? What do you do? What's your role there? How much fun is it? And what do you look forward to doing?
Wait, so you're not going to be able to go this year?
No, we were supposed to go last year. We were going this year. We were supposed to be able to go last
year.
You're going.
Okay, good, good. This year's going to be huge because the hotel, you better get your hotel room. The main hotel's already sold out. But it's, so I reached out to the Walker Stalkers. They're a couple of podcasters, James and Eric, when I just happened to be listening. You know, I like to check out and see what other people are doing. And I happened to listen to one of the early episodes when they first started. And I thought, oh man, I can tell these guys are good and they're really high energy and enthusiastic. So I reached out and I was like, hey, good job, man. You guys are good. You're good. And then, they wrote back and they're like, we listen to you. And I'm like, oh, cool. So we sort of, you know, kept in contact and, we decided to do an event in at the same time as San Diego Comic-Con. We rented out a bar and had some of the, you know, supporting actors come, and that was a lot of fun. So when they did this Walker Stalker Con, this convention for Walking Dead and other horror things, they asked me and Karen to come and help moderate the panels. So that was in Atlanta last year. So we, you know, just come up with questions and go up on stage and ask the actors questions and have the audience ask questions, stuff like that. And it was so much fun. It was amazingly cool to be up there with them and, you know, kind of go backstage and talk a little more. And it was very, very exhausting. Like, I barely had time to do anything else. I did, at that con, I did 12 panels in 3 days. And then at this one in Chicago recently, I did 16.
Gosh.
So, but I love it. It's so much fun. And if you're listening to this and you want to just get close to the actors, definitely check out this Walker Stalker Con in Atlanta. You know, I think most of the actors from the show will be there, and you can go right up and say hi, and you can, you know, go to these panels and ask questions and stuff like that. So it's just a really good vibe. The people are everybody there is having fun, and they're really friendly, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, and the folks around and inside The Walking Dead seem to be just really solid folks, you know. I won't say they took unknown people, because obviously Andrew Lincoln is not an unknown person. Or Michael Rooker wasn't an unknown actor. But, you know, they've taken this interesting group of people and built this whole thing together. And it just, they seem like they're just an amazing group of folks. At the convention that we went to a couple weeks ago in Lexington, Kentucky, Melissa McBride was actually there. And I have to tell you the story because you'll really think this is funny. This is the third year that they've done this convention. It was, I don't know, probably over 20,000 folks this year. Last year there was right under 10,000 for the whole weekend. And so they're really, you know, cranking out trying to get some good talent there. And they announced that Melissa is coming. Everybody's really excited about that. Then they announced that William Shatner and George Takei are going to be there. And so, you know, like, oh, great. There's going to be tons of folks there. So we go in to cover on Friday night. It's a VIP-only event. Good old Bill comes out to sign autographs. They make mention that William Shatner is coming to sign autographs. Go on and get in line now. You better go and get in line now. In the middle of the floor, of the convention room walks Melissa McBride. She just walks right down the center of the floor, just talking with people, shaking hands, you know, just being really super cool, and goes and stands back at her booth. I won't say that the vast majority of people were in her line, but way more people were in her line to see her than were on the convention floor and anywhere else. So after about, 10 minutes of sitting there with no one coming to have an autograph done or a picture made, William Shatner just gets up and leaves.
Nobody. Oh my God.
And these are the VIP folks. I mean, it's full. It's filled up to see Melissa McBride. and then George Takei comes in and she leaves, and I'm not sure if Bill signed any autographs that day or not.
Oh my God.
But I just think it's a really interesting testament to the show, to the people around the show. And she is a super nice lady. Oh my gosh, she is incredibly nice. But
what was this convention? What was the theme?
It's a comic and toy convention, Lexington Comic and Toy Convention. The URL is LexingtonComicandToyCon.com. Some really nice folks that we know run the show, and it's getting bigger every year. It has a lot of Power Rangers that come, but. They've had some really cool folks the last couple of years, so they're doing really good stuff. I'm just really, really pleased they were able to pull her and represent the show. We've been to a couple places where we've seen Norman Reedus, and that man knows how to shut a room down like nobody's business.
We totally want to get her for an interview, and we've been trying for months and months, and she's. I think she's kind of interview shy or something, so she hasn't come on.
She doesn't do them at all.
She did go on with the Walker Stalkers recently, and they're friends of hers. Uh-huh. Like, they know her, they text her and stuff like that. And it was great. And I wish she would change her mind, because I don't know why she doesn't do them, but I think, one thing that Karen and I really try to do is not come off like broadcasters or something, but just be people. Having a conversation. So I think it would be great, but she doesn't want to do it.
She seems like a lot of fun, and she is incredibly nice. I really think there's no limit to where they can go with the story, with these characters on television. It's going to be really interesting to see where they go next season, because everything I've read is like, oh, you really enjoyed this season. Wait until next season.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I think... I don't want to say it was Kirkman, but maybe it was Nicotero on Talking Dead Live that said something to that effect, because they're always a step ahead. I'm really looking forward to where they're taking the story. And it's good to have guys and gals like you folks doing what you do to keep the conversation going on the internet and in our ears and everywhere else.
I'm glad to hear that you're enjoying it. I didn't even realize for sure that you were a listener, actually, so it's really cool.
Besides your website, where are the ways that people can talk with you guys and find the show and all that kind of good stuff?
If you want to get us on iTunes, just go to walkingdeadcast.com/iTunes and it'll take you there. But we also have a pretty good, most of our interaction with listeners is on our Facebook page, facebook.com/deadcast. And we like to, just interact with people as much as we can and have people call in and write into the show, and we'll play your messages and stuff like that.
And, besides iTunes, can they find you anywhere else?
Just iTunes. We're on Twitter at Jason and Karen. And I think that's about it.
Cool. We will make sure that everyone we know that likes The Walking Dead will subscribe and download you guys today.
Give us a shot. That'd be great. And then if you don't like it, there's 29 other Walking Dead podcasts.
there may be something out there for you. Maybe. Jason, thank you so much for your time, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. I really enjoyed talking to you. It's great.
This has been a Justice Geeks interview. Make sure you keep checking out JusticeGeeks.com for your daily dose of everything geek, from tech to Transformers, TV, music, video games, and more. You can find it all over at JusticeGeeks.com.